Good morning and welcome to our fourth long-term care underwriting teleconference here with Mutual of Omaha. Today's topic is common application declines, and we have a full agenda for you. I'm Megan Kenney, but we'll be hearing from Alan Gregoire, Director of Individual Underwriting, and Demaree Bond, Manager of Long-Term Care Underwriting. Also on the call here on standby is Aaron Smallwood. Aaron is the Supervisor of Underwriting Support for Long-Term Care, and he is available here and ready to answer any of your case management or process questions. But as a reminder, if you have any questions, please know at the end of the call, we will open the lines for an operator-assisted Q&A session. So make sure to go ahead and just jot those questions down that you have for Alan, Aaron, or Demaree. So let's get started with Alan Gregoire. Alan, kick it off.
Yes, thank you. So good morning, everybody. Great to have you on the call today to our underwriting operations teleconference series. I can't believe how quickly the year has gone by. It's the middle of October already. It's just amazing. So we find that these teleconferences have been very valuable to us. We appreciate your attendance and participation. Your partnership is very important to us. We don't get anything done. We don't make process changes without your input. So we really appreciate it. We appreciate all the questions. And please continue to do that. Even if you have questions after these calls, you're welcome to email them to us or call us. We're interested in your feedback, not just on a teleconference, but on our processes, everything. So, we appreciate that you reach out to us, and we're happy to respond, have conversations with you. And hopefully you've seen several of the great videos from our video series of our underwriting team. They're really good. If you haven't seen them, you really need to check them out. Including the one from our LTC manager, Demaree Bond, who is up next and will share with you some great underwriting tips. All right, Demaree?
Sure. Thank you. And I mirror what Alan says. We appreciate that you're on the call with us and follow-up questions, because without your feedback, we can't improve things and get the right message out to you guys and be consistent. So we really appreciate that. And I really want to start the call with, like Alan said, this is mid-October, and the year has gone by very fast. The underwriters are still at a one-day turnaround time, and we expect a very strong finish for the year end. So they're all, conscientious and diligent at looking at your cases and making sure that they get the full attention. And we expect to be at a one-day turnaround time at the end of the year as well. And because of that strong year-end finish, one thing I really want to stress is the Other Than Applied program. I know we've talked about it in other calls, but it really makes a big difference for year-end processing. So if somebody is submitted at a certain rate class or benefits and we can't give them that, but we can still insure them, we're sending that Other Than Applied email to your back office. Some agents, you do get CC'd on those emails, but the more you talk about the benefits offered or the rate class change to your client up front, the better chance that we can issue that policy the right way the first time. So if you need to make any changes to benefits or decrease a monthly benefit because somebody was a Class 1 or something like that, it really helps as far as placement is concerned, because then when you deliver the policy, it's a policy that you've already talked to your client about and they've accepted those changes, and so then you can put that policy on the books. Whereas if we wait and, we send an Other Than Applied and we hear from you and just say, go ahead and just issue the policy, and then we start getting policy changes on the back end, sometimes that delays the process, and then it may be even a month before we get a new policy out to somebody. So just thinking about that for year-end processing, if you can respond to the Other Than Applied email when we send it to you, discuss those benefit changes with your clients. Let us know up front what kind of changes you want. That really benefits everybody in the long run, especially for year-end processing. And another thing that I see and Alan sees quite a bit is that a lot of times if you don't respond to the Other Than Applied and then we issue the policy and then you make benefit changes. Then a month later, the client says, well, I want my effective date changed now because I didn't get this policy later. Well, the thing is, on our application date or the issue date are the only two effective dates that a person can choose. So be mindful of that as well. If you do make policy changes after the fact, we are likely not going to change the effective date to push the policy effective date further. So please pay attention to that other than applied email that we send to you guys. Another thing, it's important year-round, but especially with year-end processing, is early app submissions. So as soon as the application is taken, if you can get it into us, a lot of times we'll see where somebody signed an application 29 days ago and we just got it. And we understand life happens. You know, sometimes you meet with somebody and then they can't completely fill out the application or they have some questions or whatever. But the earlier you can get the application into us, the better. As time goes by, I think we both know, or we all know, that sometimes the client will have a little bit of not frustration, but just disinterest in the process because it might have taken too long to process an application. So anything that you can do up front to get that application into us as soon as possible, the better the process goes all along. And like I said, right now our underwriters are at a one-day turnaround time. So if you can get those applications into us, the earlier the better, and again, especially for year-end results. So another thing I want to talk about is the appeal process. We do have it in our underwriting guide, and a person has up to 30 days after our decision to appeal what benefits that we changed or a rate class that we altered or even a postponement or a decline. And the best way to approach appeals is to reach out to the underwriter, but the team does a very good job, at least I think so, at communicating what the decision was, why it was made, and what kind of parameters would need to be met in order for that person to reapply or change their rate in the future. And so if you can follow that appeal process, but I'm just going to outline it with you just very quickly. If we, let's say we decline somebody or we postpone somebody, the underwriter will tell you when they could probably reapply. And so if you have questions about that, reach out to the underwriter. They are available. I know there's some companies, they still don't let you talk to an underwriter, but our underwriters are accessible. You can email them. You can call them. You can call me. You can call Alan. But just if you're not sure about what steps need to be taken, reach out to us first if you're not sure, because we don't want somebody to send in, let's say, a lab that we didn't need and the person unnecessarily did the lab. In other words, let's say we said we needed to have a hemoglobin A1C and it needed to be less than 8, and then we get a complete blood count on somebody. That's not going to change our mind, and it's just something that the client did on their own, you know, and it wasn't necessary. So be very sure about the information that we're going to need. Be mindful of the time frame that we want the appeal to come in, and that's within 30 days. And again, sometimes there's nothing we can do, and that's unfortunate. Sometimes there's somebody that they're just not insurable now, nor would we be able to consider them in the future. But also there are people that, yes, they could be postponed today because of some abnormal labs, but it doesn't necessarily mean that a new normal lab is automatically going to change our decision. Sometimes we need to make sure that that lab work is normal over time. So really just for everybody, the best place to start is with the underwriting department if the person is interested in an appeal. I know
yeah,
we have go ahead.
Yeah, let me chime in here too, please. So, you know, Jeremy's team has done a great job on appeals, a 14-day turnaround on appeals, and now it's a 3-day turnaround time because we know how important it is to you and your client that we look at the appeals as quickly as possible, because in most cases, as Demery has said, your client will go back after the agent talks to the underwriter, finds out exactly what may be needed, and the client goes back to their physician and has those additional test results and then they take the time to get this done, and then they send it in to us. We have a responsibility to respond as quickly as possible and not have your client waiting. So they've gone from 14 days down to 3 days, which is just fantastic. So we want to get that answer out to you quickly. I'm sure your client is waiting for that answer. So there's much better a time frame there for you. So great job by Demery and her team.
Thank you. I know that was advertised for this call, some common application declines, and I will tell you that I'm very familiar with them because the case management team, when they see something on an application that comes in, Aaron's team are the ones that do the first application reviews, and if there's anything that is questionable, they'll send those over to me as the underwriting manager. So I'm very, very aware of the common application declines, and I know that we've talked about some of these before, but the most common ones are somebody's build is uninsurable. So it's either somebody's underweight or somebody's over our max. So, we have a published guideline with our weight chart and everything. So just be mindful of that. Another one is sleep apnea. So many people will say on the application, yes, I have sleep apnea, but no, I don't have treatment. Anytime your applicant answers yes to that question and then they answer no to no treatment, that's just something to query a little bit further. And if you're not sure, reach out to underwriting and we'll help you with that and formulate some questions to further ask your client. But basically, if treatment's been indicated and they're not compliant with it, then they may not be insurable. So it's a common decline when somebody says, yes, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, CPAP was prescribed, but I didn't tolerate it, I didn't like it, so I didn't use that anymore. Well, that's still treatment. So again, reach out to us anytime that question is answered yes, but then the client says no. And, sometimes somebody will say, yes, it was mild. It will show it in my medical records and treatment isn't indicated, and that's fine. But if you're not sure how to proceed on that question, just reach out to us. Another one is physical therapy. And there's some physical therapy that within the last 6 months we're okay with. And actually, if you look at our guidelines, within 3 months we're okay with most physical therapies. The ones that were a little bit more conservative on are therapies for the neck and the back. So anybody that has had physical therapy within the last 6 months, please reach out to us before you submit that application just to make sure it's somebody that's insurable. But again, it's a common reason that it doesn't go further in the underwriting process is just because it was recent or sometimes it's even ongoing. If somebody's ongoing physical therapy, it doesn't necessarily mean a decline. We've allowed some of those applications to come through when it's like, I had a pinky fracture and I still have therapy. Who cares? So it just depends on what the condition is. But again, reach out to us. We are there to help you. Another one is recent medication changes or a recent prescription. So let's say somebody has a history of diabetes and all of a sudden they started insulin last month. So that's somebody that, you're going to want to call the underwriting department and say, hey, this person had this medication change. Can I submit this application? Sometimes it depends because there's like a blood pressure medication, Losartan, that because of the side effects, a lot of doctors were pulling that medication from their client's use. They're switching it with something else. It doesn't mean that that person was noncompliant or their blood pressure was not controlled. It just means that that medication is not something that's indicated for the treatment of high blood pressure for some people. So, again, just reaching out to us, and we can let you know whether a new medication that was prescribed or a medication change or even a dosage change, if there's questions about that. And really, if somebody answers a medication question and they started it within 6 months, I think it's a good idea, and it would just suit everybody better to reach out to underwriting and make sure it's okay to submit that application. And the same thing goes with some conditions that they just didn't meet the wait time in order to apply. And, there's some circumstances where it's, if you're 1 month shy of 6 months, it's something that we're probably going to be able to look and develop. But there's other times where if it's something that we need a year wait and they've only been diagnosed for 6 months, they've just not met our comfort level as far as our claims, what we know about the disease and the stability period to allow an application earlier than that. So, again, just reach out to the underwriting department. That goes with procedures. I see a lot of cataract people, and actually, those are okay. They don't do them together. If they did, obviously, we'd probably have a concern because if there's any kind of complication, we worry about blindness. But since most cataract surgeries, at least that I've seen and I know about, they wait before they do one and then they do the other. So we're pretty good with cataracts, screening colonoscopies, that kind of thing. As long as those are screening, you know, screening mammogram, it's the procedures where they had blood in the urine and they're supposed to go to a urologist and get further testing. That's something that we would, you know, give pause to, that, you know, let's wait and see what the outcome is before you submit an application to that person. And then the last thing is prior declines or prior postponements, either with Mutual of Omaha or with another company, please pre-screen those people with us, and as especially me. That's the person that you need to go to and make sure that it's okay to submit a new app. And that is, sometimes people aren't aware that even it's a Mutual of Omaha postpone or decline, those need to go to me as well. So basically, those are the common application declines. And again, I'm very aware of them just because Aaron's team sends those to me when they do their first app reviews.
Can I chime in again?
Of course.
Thank you. So, yeah, you know, Denver keeps mentioning contact the underwriting, you know, team. So our emails are returned within 4 hours. We have a four-hour turnaround time on our pre-screens. And, again, she mentions call us. You know, if you're unsure, you know, give us a call. But I think you'll find that we're very accessible, easy to get a hold of, that we return emails right away. We even do it on weekends. So usually Demry's in there, I'm in there, somebody's in there on the weekends answering your emails. So, you know, and I think you'll all find that, and if you're not, let me know. But, yeah, we try to get back to you as quickly as possible because we know how important, you know, our answers are, and that you probably have clients waiting. And we want to get that information back to you as quickly as possible. And, again, Demry's team does a great job on these pre-screens, so thank you.
Thanks. And then here's some things that, you know, it's not something that we see on a day-to-day basis, but just some general reminders. And, you know, we know that there are underwriting guidelines. There's a lot of pages and there's a lot of information in there. But just from time to time, something comes up, and I just want to make sure everybody's aware of some of these kind of one-off things, but they do happen enough that I think it's something to mention today on the call. And the first one is underwriting guidelines for someone that's leaving the country or they spent time overseas. Sometimes we'll see somebody where they've lived in China for a while, working for Anheuser-Busch or something like that. They have a U.S. doctor at some compound that they're living at, but the doctor's from China. And so just giving an update on what we see and what we expect as far as underwriting somebody that's going to leave the country or they've been out of the country. First thing is, person has to be a U.S. citizen. They have to have a permanent residence in the United States. They have to have an established U.S. physician, and they have to have seen that person within the last 2 years for either a physical assessment, and that's part of some normal visit that you would normally have with the doctor, or a physical exam, and that's really age-dependent. Another thing is they need to complete their interview, whether it's a face-to-face or the phone interview, while they're in the U.S. If they're insurable, then we require that they be in the United States to accept policy delivery. So a lot of times somebody will say, well, they're deployed and, you know, they're in Afghanistan right now. If they couldn't meet those parameters, don't submit the application until they can meet those. And we do insure people that, you know, they've been out of the country and everything, but again, they just have to meet those parameters in order to apply. Another thing that we see sometimes is association group discounts. So the person has to be a member of the association group, and it's something in a group that we actually accept, and it's something that the marketer or the agent is authorized to sell, or, you know, to take an application on that person and get that association group discount. The key thing is the person has to be a member before they even apply for the insurance. It's not something that can be offered after the fact. So just be aware of that. Another thing that happens from time to time is we'll get married or partners, and they live in separate residences, and then they want their spouse discount. And unfortunately, if they live in separate residences, we aren't able to allow that. So just make sure, you know, when you complete the application, you see there's two different residences, that the expectation for discounts is made to the clients up front. And if you're unsure, certainly call the underwriting department, or I would say call sales and ask them, but we could certainly help out with that as well. And then the last thing before we open up for questions or comments or anything like that, and unless Aaron or Alan have anything else to say, is reinstatements. You know, this is, we're talking mainly about new business, but sometimes we have people and their policies have lapsed for one reason or another. With that, I guess the biggest thing is with clients, anytime they have an address change, make sure that they know to update that with the company to make sure that we're sending billing notices out to people at the right address. We strongly urge somebody to have a third-party notification, and there's a place on the application to do that. That way, that person could be contacted as well in case there's a policy lapse. But the biggest thing with reinstatements is that it's something that we deal with the client ourselves. Certainly, if your client said, my policy is lapsed, what do I do? The thing is, the client is the one that needs to initiate the reinstatement request. And if they do qualify for reinstatement, we will send them a reinstatement application. We'll ask that they send in all of their medical records for the last 3 years. And if they're insurable, then we would let them know that they're able to reinstate their policy and they can pay their back premiums. But just to make sure that it's a communication that we have between the company and the client. And again, if they contacted you and said, hey, can you help me with this? Certainly, you know, that's fine. But just as far as reinstatements are concerned, most of the time we see it's because people have changed addresses, they didn't update something, and a lot of times they didn't have a third-party notification. So when they're filling out the application, if you can stress the importance of that. Other than that, Alan, did you have anything else to add? Or?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on the association group discounts just for a second so that everybody understands how this works. I mean, usually a marketer will send in a request to set up an association. They send in the bylaws and everything, demographics, what their marketing plan is, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to approve an association. But when we do approve that association, whoever that marketer is, they should be actively marketing to that group. And so that's why they should already be a member. If they're not a member, then they shouldn't be filling out the application. So you're marketing to a group of people who are members. So when they fill out that application, they should be able to put on that that association and stuff. So that's why we don't allow it after the fact. But it does come up occasionally, and we have to, you know, talk about it. So if you have any additional questions, you know, happy to have a discussion. And that's all I got. I think everything is doing a fantastic job. You know, 1 day turnaround time. You know, we're approaching year end, which is can sometimes be stressful, but we're rest assured we have the underwriters, teams, the case managers available to handle the business and get the work out. As Demi mentioned earlier with the other than applied, you know, we want to make sure that y'all get paid this year. So, you know, if we get the answers we need up front, we can issue it correctly the first time, and we'll make a big difference for you. So we want to get this out. We want to get those policies out too, get those clients insured as quickly as possible. So great work by Demi and her team. Really appreciate it.
All right. Now our operator will open the line for your questions. If you wish to ask a question for anyone on the call today, again, we have Alan Gregoire, Demi Bond, and Aaron Smallwood here. Please enter *1 on your keypad. Again, to ask a question, please press *1 on your keypad. Give you a few seconds to go ahead and compile some questions, and then we'll go into them. All right, let's go ahead and begin the question.
Your first question comes from Mark Doss. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I have two questions for you today. In relationship to associations, What are some of the approved associations? Does Omaha have that listed for us on the website somewhere, or is that something we need to find out just prior to approaching a prospect?
So I'll go ahead and jump in and answer that. So association marketing lists, like the approved associations, are not public. The whole goal of association marketing is to have a relationship established with that association that's kind of owned by that marketer or that producer. So we don't publish those lists. It's not something you can cross-reference. If you happen upon an association that your client is a member of, you're always open to call in and see if that association is approved with Mutual Omaha and if that association is if we can allow that association discount. But there is no public list for that, no.
Okay, very good. And then in relation to problems that some of our prospects may have, like a joint replacement, like I have a group of guys who play volleyball, and a couple of them have had like a shoulder rotator cuff replacement or ACL work done. How does that figure in for underwriting? Is that I'm sure it's case by case, but is that something we can get around for some people but not for others?
And basically, if they're having ongoing problems and surgery is recommended or pending, then right now they would not be insurable, but after the surgery has been complete, they've had a full recovery, range of motion has returned to normal or near normal, then yes, we can insure those people.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for your words of wisdom for us today. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Lee Gibson. Your line is open.
Good morning, and thank you for hosting the call. Actually, I have three questions for you. The first one is, can you tell us the things that people can have and still qualify for the best rate class?
So,
you're asking about preferred rate class, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Emery.
Okay, so in our underwriting guidelines, we do have a criteria for preferred underwriting. So people can have allergies. They can have high blood pressure. If their build is within our preferred guidelines, they might have mild depression or mild anxiety. So it's really a case-by-case basis. Our guidelines, if there's anything that says S and there's an asterisk by it, it means that that's a person that could potentially be qualified for preferred. So if you have somebody and you think they are, sometimes, though, it just depends on the condition. So I guess my word of advice is to reach out to us first before you quote that person preferred. But there are a lot of different things that they can qualify for. Without going through the whole list in our guide, but just throwing some out there, high blood pressure, some mild depression or anxiety, mild sleep apnea, things like that, then yes, we can give them preferred.
Yeah, you have to be tobacco-free for the last 2 years. You have to be within the preferred build chart, so it's always good with that. But we have a page in the underwriting guide that lists the criteria for preferred underwriting.
Okay. Are rates based on a person's age only, or are they also based or otherwise based rather than the birth date on the calendar year?
So rates, whether somebody...
I'm sorry, the premiums.
Thank you. Yes, so the premium is based on... The premium is based on the age in which they apply. So there is a 30-day, save age for 30 days. So if they're within 30 days of their birthday, you can save age and have the lower age premium.
Okay, so it's attained age at application as opposed to the calendar year.
Correct.
Okay. The last question I have for you relates to idiopathic neuropathy. Is that an automatic decline, or is it dependent on the severity?
It's dependent on the severity. So in other words, if somebody has idiopathic neuropathy, clearly polyneuropathy has been ruled out. And like we say, with idiopathic, we just don't know the cause. The severity drives whether they're insurable or not. Somebody that it's very mild, they're active, you know, they're walking, they're jogging, they're working, if they're working age, either not taking medications for it, but if they are, something very low dose, that's somebody that we would consider. Somebody that may not be is somebody that it's diagnosed as severe, it limits their ability to move about, they have a handicap sticker, you know, they're taking gabapentin, 1,200 milligrams a day. Somebody like that, that's probably not going to have a opportunity to get insurability, but we look at those on a case-by-case basis, and we get medical records on anybody that has neuropathy.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from an anonymous line. You can state your first and last name. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. This is Lisa DeBignar with Innovative Solutions. Thank you for these calls. They're very, very helpful. My question is about cortisone injections. If you have a client that's had a recent cortisone injection, I'm assuming the body part is important, but can you give me some guidance on that?
Sure. So let's say they have tendonitis and they inject their elbow. We're not going to be as concerned versus somebody that they have herniated disc problems. They've got some sciatica related to that, and they give them a steroid injection. We'd want a little bit more wait time to make sure that they've responded to that. So you are correct. It just depends on what body part they've injected. And
yeah,
again, reach out to us.
So, Demery, is that means I have a client that had a cortisone injection in their thumb for trigger finger, I think it's called. How concerned should I be about that? It was recent.
So with thumbs, and it, you know, I talked about a pinky and somebody having physical therapy for that. It's not something that we can, you know, consider that significant. But when you look at your thumbs, we need our thumbs to do a lot of things. So we need them to eat, you know, handle utensils. Try buttoning a shirt without using your thumb. Try writing something on a piece of paper without using your thumb. So, again, we'd probably look at, you know, are they left-handed or right-handed, and what was, you know, what is the underlying cause for this? You know, if there's severe thumb arthritis, then maybe that's something that we're going to hold off on. But if it's something where it's just a strain or overuse, I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
We have another question on the line. Who pressed star 1? You can state your first and last name. Your line is open. Again, we have a question on the line. Who pressed star 1? You can state your first and last name. Your line is open.
Hi, I guess that's me, Carolyn Bader from George Mellendorf's office. How are you guys?
Hi.
How you doing?
I missed you guys at the conference. We came a day later. I wanted to show off my underwriting skills, but anyway. So I just want to make sure, because I kind of chimed in 2 minutes after, that I heard this correctly for year-end. Apps are at a one-day turnaround?
No, decisions are at a one-day turnaround.
Okay.
Maybe I wasn't very clear about that, but that would probably put a big buzz in everybody. <It's> like
you would be slammed with Mutual of Omaha applications.
Well, no, that's a great question. Once everything is in, then the underwriters are at a one-day turnaround time. But, you know, the under 860, where we're APSing for cause, we have great turnaround time there. We're issuing cases in as little as 5 days.
I was going to say, I've seen a couple cases in our downline within 7 days, and I thought, wow,
yep,
that was amazing.
Yep. So under 860, and there's no significant help there. Even couples, we're getting those issued out quickly because we really believe that that the younger you are, the less medical conditions, the easier it should be to underwrite. You shouldn't take as long to write a 45-year-old as it does a 75-year-old. We know that somebody's older is going to have a lot more medical conditions and require a lot more underwriting. Somebody young, a lot less conditions. So, yeah, I think Demery's team is doing a fantastic job of these under age 60s and getting them issued quickly. So yeah, that makes everybody happy, including me.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have another question on the line. You can state your first and last name. Your line is open. Again, we have a question on the line. Who pressed star one? You can state your first and last name. Your line is open. At this time, this question has been withdrawn. Again, we have a question on the line. You can state your first and last name. Your line is open.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I've got four questions. The first one might be directed at Alan, and it has to do with membership in these associations. I encounter folks often who have been members of an association for a long time but don't have a card and or do not remember the date they became a member. How crucial is that?
Well, it is required on the application. I'm a member of an association myself. I could reach out to that association and get a new number or card or call the treasurer or secretary. They have that information available, so it should be easily attained.
Okay. Also on weight loss, what's the general range for acceptability on weight loss or gain within a time frame?
Well, that's a great question. So I'll give my input. Emery can give hers. It really depends on what is the history there. Are they in the weight loss mode and they've had weight loss over a period of time and you can see that they're continuing to lose weight? Those are really good cases, in my opinion. If you have someone that's up and down, lost some weight, gained some weight, lost some weight, then are they really losing weight? And then there's the opposite end of that where you see the weight going up gradually. That's also a concern, especially when you talk about musculoskeletal issues, diabetes, other conditions like that where weight plays a factor and you start to see that going up, then it's something that the underwriter will look into a little closer. Demery, your thoughts?
Yeah. And another thing with that is a lot of times we want to see, like Alan said, some type of stability that we see that they're motivated to lose weight. And those are the ones that, you know, we're not going to make them wait even more to ensure that their medical records show that the weight loss occurred. So, if somebody says on the application they're 5'5 and they weigh 200 pounds, but then we get medical records on somebody and the last office visit they have was in April and they were actually 230 pounds, we didn't see that weight loss there. If somebody insists on that, we certainly could ask the client, you know, to provide proof of that in an appeal. I mean, they would get the rate class that we're going to give them, but they also have that opportunity. But it really depends on that motivation, like Alan said. And another thing is, as far as weight loss is concerned, and I'm talking about somebody that medical records will show that they have unexplained weight loss, that's somebody that we have concern about too. A lot of times people are diet and exercising, and we get that. But if there's somebody that complains of unexplained weight loss, that would have to be explained or investigated, and then their weight would have to be stable for a certain period of time.
But if there was like a 12 or 15 pound weight loss or gain in a year, is that subject to scrutiny?
Well, it just depends. We take a holistic approach to it. We want to look at it and see. And it depends where that information comes from. Does it come from the application? Does it come from the medical records? If they've only seen their doctor once in that year, or have they seen their doctor multiple times in that year? So if they saw the doctor three times that year and it went up, and then the next visit it was stable, then it might not be a concern at all. So you really have to look at it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
So we have a general rule. We like to see somebody maintain their weight for a year, but that's not steadfast. I mean, every situation is so different when it comes to weight loss or weight gain. So we're trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the client, but, you know, every situation is so different that we need to just look at what are the details and make a best guess decision.
Okay. I heard earlier where you're underwriting opportunities are open by phone. I a long time ago gave up calling you folks. Is there actually an 800 number that we can use to call you in lieu of an email?
It's in
there
the underwriting guide. There is a phone number. The reason we like email because we can get to them quickly, but it also
sure.
gives you a record of what transpired. So because it makes a difference, believe me, when you send in that email that says this was pre-qualified and this is what you submitted, this is what we told you. The underwriters look at that information, just like cover pages. You know, I'm an old-school underwriter. Back in the day, everybody used to submit a cover page because, you know, they was, you know, at that time it was face-to-face sales. It isn't today. But cover pages that explain situations or incidences and stuff like that, underwriters read all that stuff. So that's good information. So the email is another good piece of information to submit with the application. By all means, you can call in. But, you know, if it comes down to a he said, she said type of thing, we got nothing to base it on. That makes sense?
Yes, yes. All right, and lastly, you your comment about the thumb brought me great humor this morning because it occurred to me that 10 or 15 years from now, the millennials are going to be categorically uninsurable with the usage of their thumbs on the phone. So you've just absolutely extracted the entire market of millennials. So how do you feel about that?
Hey, we recently started taking marijuana this year because society has changed. So maybe we'll have to relook at thumbs in the future to see if we can insure some of those people. That is funny.
We'll probably see more thumb replacements in 30-year-olds.
I don't think it'll take long, but you're right. I think you'll call it carpal thumbal syndrome or something. Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it. And it sounds like you underwriters have no life because some of us agents work on Saturday as well.
Well, you email us, we'll email you back.
Thank you much.
Have a good day.
You too.
We have one more question on the line. You can state your first and last name. Your line is open. Again, we have one more question. Who press star 1. You can state your first and last name. Your line is open. At this time, that question has been withdrawn. Again, to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
We do really appreciate the questions. These are fantastic. Great, great questions.
I could do
all right,
all
everyone. Thank you so much for participating today. This call was recorded, and it will be available on Express as well as Sales Professional Access. Please watch out for that communication. And then also make sure to join us for the next and final teleconference on the third Thursday in December, December 19th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Until then, contact sales support or underwriting, as you know, for any questions. And thanks again so much for participating today.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.